Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in again to our series on the Affordable Care Act. If you are in some form of healthcare, you've probably heard talks on various models of healthcare, testing out what looks promising but cost-effective and yet delivers good outcomes. So in this part of the series, we'll talk a little about some of these models of care.
Welcome to this course on new and emerging models of patient care. This is the third course in our Affordable Care Act series. So far, we've covered what the Affordable Care Act is all about, the 10 titles of the Act, and cost control measures brought about by the Act as well. In this module, we will discuss emerging models of care. So let's get started. At the completion of this activity, the individual will be able to define an accountable care organization. Describe how capitation relates to medical costs and how it is used to incentivize efficiency. Understand and define the concept of diagnosis-related group as it refers to medical costs and reimbursement processes. Identify four focus areas of accountable care organizations. Explain the patient-centered medical home, PCMH, model. Discuss how a PCMH improves the quality of care and encourages efficiency. Identify how health educators can play a role in these models of care. The Affordable Care Act, implemented in October of 2013, brings about some requirements to ensure accountability in patient care practices, both to enhance patient outcome as well as to increase efficiency and affordability. These measures encouraged by the ACA include accountability practices at all levels of the healthcare system and are modeled, in part, after accountability practices created by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to combat financial fraud and wasteful procedures. An accountable care organization, ACO, is a group of coordinated healthcare providers that provides care to a certain population of patients. It is a healthcare unit that seeks to link provider reimbursements to a set of quality metrics and reductions in the cost of care for a specific population of patients or a specific diagnosis. Because care is coordinated, the goal is to make sure the patient receives the right treatment, of course at the right time, while minimizing costs and avoiding duplication of services. The providers as a group agree to be accountable for the quality, cost, and overall care. Financial incentives are provided to members who meet the markers for quality while providing a cost savings. Some of you may have heard about accountable care organizations in context with Medicare patients. Therefore, it's not uncommon to ask whether an ACO is only for Medicare patients, and the answer is no. Generally, the concept of ACO involves care for all patients. However, in the new health law, Affordable Care Act, emphasis has been on the Medicare population. One of the greatest contributions of the Act to healthcare reform focuses on cost savings and sharing in the care of Medicare patients. According to the Act, an ACO must agree to manage all the needs of a minimum of 5,000 Medicare beneficiaries for at least 3 years. Financial incentives for an ACO is mobilized in various ways. Regardless of the type of patients being taken care of, for example, Medicare or non-Medicare, the concepts of how financial incentives are provided include 1. Capitation payments. 2. Charging by diagnosis-related group. 3. Medicare Shared Savings Program. Let's discuss each of these payment methods, one after the other, starting with a capitation option. In this method, the provider receives a capitated payment. Capitation means that once a provider reaches the maximum amount of cost allowed, no more payment will be issued, but the patient must still receive the required services. The advantage to this system is that the provider receives his usual and customary fee for all of the services that are generally needed, but encourages the practitioner to be conservative and efficient in his treatment. Let's work through this example of how a capitation payment works. In this example, we will use Medicare as the insurer. So Medicare agrees to pay the ACO $600 per year per patient in the managed group. For 1,500 people, Medicare will pay the group $900,000, and the ACO will be expected to provide for all of the patient's health care needs. If one person uses $2,000 worth of services, the ACO will lose $1,400 on that patient. But if another only uses $150 in services, the group makes $450 on that patient. Of course, the goal of the ACO is to provide coordinated care in a way that minimizes costs and keeps that capitated amount in the ACO. A second method is known as diagnosis-related group charging. This means that the provider will receive a set amount of payment for a specific diagnosis, regardless of what treatment is needed. The fee amount is set based on an average of similar diagnosis payments, and again encourages the practitioner to be conservative and efficient. If he is efficient and diligent in his treatment, he may receive a slight bonus. If the treatments required go over the amount allowed, he will essentially be penalized. The Medicare Shared Savings Program, MSSP, for ACOs is yet another payment model for reimbursing providers in these organizations. This program incorporates a model of shared savings model for groups of providers that meet annual performance standards. Payments will still be based on fee-for-service, and there are really no financial penalties other than unreimbursed services or other investments. In each case, the provider must perform the services required to meet the patient's medical needs. In each case as well, the provider has direct incentive to provide quality service in an efficient manner. An example of this would be choosing to do an expensive CT scan when first encountering a patient versus choosing to do a routine, less expensive X-ray and making the decision about whether a CT scan is needed based on the less expensive X-ray result. In the case of the automatic CT scan, the resource of the X-ray will not be utilized, but the CT scan may show that it was not needed. In the case of X-ray first, the physician may see that he does not need the CT scan and will not have spent the resources, but may see that a CT scan is needed, and then the X-ray would be an extra cost. Expediency may tell the physician to simply give everyone a CT scan to be sure and avoid the extra time, while efficiency may show that the less expensive look-and-see route may be more cost-effective, providing that a CT scan is provided if it is shown that it is needed. Switching gears now, we'll talk about another model of care that is equally important and can have implications in how healthcare is practiced. Another method for patient care quality and cost control is the patient-centered medical home, PCMH, system. You may hear it referred to also as primary care medical home model. The Agency for Health Research and Quality, AHRQ, defines it as not a home, but as a model of the organization of primary care that delivers the core function of primary health care. It is a model of care that emphasizes communication and coordination of care between the patient and the provider. PCMH encourages an ongoing personal relationship between the patient, the primary care provider, and the rest of the patient's health care team. The primary care provider is involved in all of the decisions regarding the patient's health care needs. It is a system that is similar to an HMO, where the primary care provider acts in a sense as a gatekeeper. In this case, however, it is a more patient-centric environment, as not only does the primary care provider help to assess when the patient needs additional services, all of the services provided are being reported back to the primary care physician. PCMH model ensures continuity and helps increase the level of care. It ensures that all medical treatments will coalesce with one another and that none will be in conflict. In a non-patient-centered environment, the patient may see many physicians, each for a different medical need. To have a coordinated care system, it would take the patient carrying a briefcase of information from physician to physician in order to provide continuity. The PCMH provides a medical home for the patient and ensures coordination with all necessary medical exams and treatments. Cost savings in this environment can be realized with avoidance of duplicate or interacting treatments, including some very basics such as repeat AKGs, repeat lab testing, repeat X-rays, drug interactions, drug disease interactions. Repeated testing costs is exactly what it sounds like. At least double, if not triple, if a patient sees one physician who orders a test and then sees a second physician who wants the same test. Drug interactions and drug disease interactions are common and easily avoided, but end up costing the healthcare system millions, if not billions, of dollars each year. In summary, having a PCMH system focuses on primary care as the hub with the rest of the healthcare team as spokes in the wheel. Though complex and possibly requiring an administrator or coordinator, it is a system that is much more efficient overall and can result in both better care but also cost savings. The PCMH model and even the ACO model both offer a lot of opportunities for health education specialists and community health workers. The roles of these individuals allow them to be well-suited to function in each of these models. Health educators, community health workers typically perform functions such as coordination of care, deliver of patient health education, health coaching, navigating or connecting individuals to community resources, improving care transition processes post-admission. This is a no-brainer. Community health workers can and are part of the solution. After discharge from the hospital, the patient re-enters the community. That is where the work begins. How can care be transitioned effectively? How do we achieve continuity of care? Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, the role they can play is being recognized. Numerous studies are demonstrating their effectiveness in reducing costs while having positive outcomes for the patients. Reimbursement processes that we've discussed so far show that payments will be focusing on achieving the most care with decreased costs. Health educators are well positioned to fit into roles in any of the models. Return on investment for the work provided by these people can factor into cost savings for the providers and improved outcomes for the patients. If you are a health educator, now is the time to harness your skills and make the most of opportunities created by the changing landscape of our healthcare. This concludes this section on emerging models of care. We covered quite a bit in this module. Hopefully, you now have a better idea of the changes happening to the way healthcare is practiced in this country.
This series is brought to you by PharmPH, LLC.